Michael and Sally, Jim Dry Creek, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Dunder Mifflin,
People Persons Paper Podcast.
Dunder Mifflin,
People Persons Paper Podcast.
Dunder Mifflin,
the People Persons Paper Podcast.
Time out.
Welcome to the People Persons Paper Podcast, the show where we are going episode by episode through every episode of the hit NBC sitcom The Office. My name is Hilton Price. With me every week is Brian Sittler.
With you as always.
Good to have you back, buddy.
Always.
And our entire legacy available for the fans.
It is. It's all for you people. We give.
All 100 plus episodes of the People Persons Paper Podcast are now available on all your favorite podcast apps. Episodes 1 through 100, wherever we are now.
It's in the millions, it seems.
Yeah, 6 seasons, so many episodes, so many classic moments, and you can go along that whole ride with us.
All the laughs you could ever want.
And one of our favorite people to laugh with is back, Cam Porter.
Ha ha, laughter.
Laughter indeed.
Hello, we are having fun.
Thanks for coming back.
Of course, yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Always a joy, always a pleasure.
Yeah, you know, it's not a joy at Dunder Mifflin this week.
It's not, it's very contentious.
Yeah.
It's a dark time in the office.
Dark time.
Uh-huh.
It's an interesting dynamic they tried to create with this episode. We're watching the 20th episode of season 6, New Leads, by the way.
The leads
are in. $50,000 spent on these new leads by Saber.
How nice of them.
Yeah.
How nice of them to throw everything out of balance in this.
Right.
In our little sanctuary of the office.
How nice of them to turn friends into enemies.
Well, and that's...
Unwillingly.
And some.
Unwittingly.
Some. Right? Into lovers.
New love.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, at the very end.
Kind of a monumental one, isn't
yeah.
this?
Here's the deal, you guys. Hope grows in a dump.
Yeah.
That's the theme of the episode.
I just couldn't help but think they're in a dump, literally, beginning their relationship.
I mean, they're all, yeah.
This was destined.
Definitely some foreshadowing, yeah.
That was the thing, though, is I had a moment today where I'm like, oh my God, were the writers telling us the whole time we are going to tank the fuck out of this?
I want to believe they didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, beforehand. I want to believe that it was just Ed Helms' weird schedule and they had to work around it and that's what kind of fucked everything up. But at the same time, it's like, well, this is fitting.
But it was
right, yeah. Because that entire plot is trash.
Yeah,
And ironically, this moment actually does hit me in the right spot. It is a sweet, tender.
It is nice. Moment.
It is
nice. The build up is very good.
It is,
and then it just.
Well, and yeah. They've been drip feeding us the Erin Andy relationship for a minute now, and the first time through when this was supposed to be Pam and Jim 2.0. Mm-hmm. I was loving this.
Yeah.
Right down from the, you're the nicest person, the way he blurts it out, the way he kisses her, to the stupid little riddididoo, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's sweet. It's sweet. But now looking back on it, knowing where it goes, I'm like, fuck y'all.
Why are you wasting our time with this?
Great camera work, I want to say, just at the very end with the long shot of them just in that.
Yeah.
And
also one of the few scenes in the dump that doesn't look like shitty green screen.
Right, yeah.
I figure they went about like 7 feet back, and you can basically see where the real
trash
is, and where the horizon begins, if you will.
Yeah. Also, I swear to God that bulldozer, whatever the land moving machine, that's clearly in the actual trash video.
Yes.
It has been excavating that same spot the entire episode. Possibly
they're just
the
working
same
on that
shot.
One spot. Yeah. Yeah.
Has he lifted that toaster before? I can't tell.
There was when they first get to the dump, and I had never caught it before, and it made me laugh this time. When they get out, and Dwight looks around and just goes, "Man, this place has gone to hell."
Yeah,
like it's a dump. What,
like, what did it used to be
exactly,
like?
Exactly. Yeah, I never caught that before, and I heard that, and that made me laugh.
I forgot how much time Michael spends in the parking lot before they go, just trying to convince the entire staff to come with him.
Yeah, I forgot he'd ask them out or for pizza and then a movie or
and then more pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, and Daryl has one of my all time forgotten great lines. He's like, I would love to go. You know I can't.
Yes, you know I can't.
With follow-up questions.
That wasn't covered
up in the deleted scenes.
It was not.
Okay.
There's no long
I think that
talk
was just,
about,
yeah, that was just Daryl being Daryl.
Daryl revealing that as a child he'd been hurt at the dump or who knows. Good God.
Daryl's spreading his wings for us a little bit as a character, I gotta say. I enjoy this now. And inserting himself more from the you know, actually empowering Michael to to take out the trash that sales staff.
Yeah. He really has some great moments in this
episode.
He does,
and it's a good one.
Not just the way that, like, he's pushing Michael to take a stand, but also when he does the "you have to get back on top," and they both do the "that's what she said."
Yeah.
And Michael, yeah. And,
stunned.
And Daryl,
And that was improv, apparently.
Oh, nice.
Like, the
nice.
Office ladies.
That's
was,
awesome.
Well done. They just He just went right with it with the,
It was such a benefit.
I have a tiger, man.
Yeah.
It was really, really fun. Really, really great moments out of him. Yeah. Great moments out of a couple of characters. Oscar had some real shines in this one. The stuff with the baby and Kelly.
When he goes to, like, show the photo and Oscar, like, and she grabs him back. That's so, it was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can overhear, actually, we overhear the upcoming hint of the next episode, which is when they go to happy hour. And Kelly's
talking about the warehouse guy.
He's got to.
Yeah,
he's got to do something. We're not quite sure what it is. You got to go for it. I think those are her words. And actually, Kelly having more of an effect on an actual plot line is kind of monumental in its own sort of. Because otherwise, we just see her arguing with Ryan in this whole episode.
Well, and talking about somebody else's problems and not just talking about her.
Yeah.
And Jim going for the baby pics.
Jim is having a rough go this episode.
Yeah.
He's on one hand he's trying to be the salesman. He's leaning into the kind of cockiness.
He needs to make money for his family.
They're all on the go, very much so, with the Bluetooths.
Yeah, with the Bluetooths. Creed's got the new glasses, which
that's right.
Oh, because the Lost and Found itself has been lost.
Oh, that's right. Oh wow, I didn't put that together. That's so good.
That's it.
So good.
Oh,
that's
really, my God.
You know, OG episode, that's our really only Creed moment that we
get.
Yeah. There's a great deleted scene with him and Andy where Creed tries to extort $10,000 from Andy, to which Andy immediately says no.
Yeah.
Then Creed tries for $500. Again, no. I think finally Andy gives him a pocket square, a handkerchief, and that's what he takes.
Okay.
Oh, good negotiation.
Yeah. Creed, master negotiator.
Right.
Master many things.
And we learn in the deleted scene that Creed believes he has an office door, because he does tell Andy, come on in, and then when it's over, you can show yourself out.
And they're just at his desk?
Right back to work.
Oh, wow. That's great. That is great.
It's good to have dreams.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Another backstory, another thing I heard on The Office Ladies in that opening scene was they mentioned Pet Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which evidently was a lost episode they'd actually never made back in season one. And it was always like they kept it around. They would, and behind the scenes, they would mention it apparently, like if they needed something, if they were out of ideas.
Out of pitch ideas.
So everybody got to bring
day.
Their pet to the office.
Wow.
And the only one I remember is that Michael had a parakeet, a parrot. So
a parrot or parrot. Wow. Birds are a complicated, difficult animal to raise.
The last one that he should have. Probably.
That might be, that's not what Michael should
have. They
need
a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, Michael does like to be, you know, given attention, you know?
That's true.
Well,
so.
But Michael is at a crisis. He's at a crossroads, really, to get back on top, as we said.
Yeah.
And also, they're breaking the rules, because the way it used to work around here was friends first, sales second,
lovers third. Yeah,
no order really, but not really. So it's I don't know. Like I said, it's a dark time.
Yeah, we do have really empowering some of the sales staff. We're seeing them act a little out of character. Phyllis with the numb nuts.
It's almost a little Twilight Zone-y. I mean, I mean that it's like they've been possessed, like out of nowhere.
It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
But it does ring true. I remember my job, one of the jobs I've been to, I won't say which, but they at some point there was new management, and they really, they did the same thing almost.
Really pushed the sales staff.
Right, and I don't know if it was like a post, like, Great Recession thing, or after, you know, the panic or whatever, that like, we got to make money as much as we can now, and they were, you know, so hence sales is king.
Yeah.
But I could kind of, I could see, like, okay, yeah, that could happen, and they'll just marginalize the rest of the staff. That's a good idea.
Well, there's one thing this does is it really kind of brings home the idea that not, you know, every episode of The Office is not a week later.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This feels like it's a couple weeks of
weeks to months.
Yeah. Yeah. Saber has implemented their wider plan for how things are run, and now everyone's trying to get on board with it for better or worse. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and because of that, you do get the kind of thing that we don't see too much, but it does start to happen more in later episodes, where you get a kind of like, 1 week idea. In this, it's the Bluetooths.
Right.
You know,
right.
We never see them on Bluetooth ever again.
This is true. I'll tell you what we get. No. We get Dwight's undivided attention.
Yeah, which we could not handle. Obviously.
I can barely handle. I'm glad they stopped the scene right then because I might have freaked out.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, that's
great Dwight episode, by the way.
Great Dwight episode. Yeah. Great character moments almost through the entire staff. Yeah. I mean,
one of my favorites is when Dwight comes back. Figures out the new leads, goes to Kevin, and he says they're in the trash, and he says, Meredith, take your dress off.
Yes.
And she just goes, okay, and starts doing it. And then he says, no, it's really in the trash. And as he walks by, she goes, it's coming off either way. It's perfect Meredith.
The way that he thinks trash is a metaphor and immediately just calls her out on that, and then she's not even bothered, unfazed.
She does not care.
Kevin's horrified.
Immediately after, I do have a moment. Does Kevin like being choked? Or is that just coincidence?
I think he just liked having the upper hand.
Okay.
He was that determined to have enjoy this.
Yeah.
But you see how like there was a real fine line there.
He was having fun with something. I'm just gonna hope that it was just having the upper hand over Dwight.
It's what happens to he who never breathes.
Which, for the record, he's had multiple girlfriends. Come on now, guys. Yeah. He does fine. He's a chef. He loves animals. Come on. So here's the deal. We've got a lot of different things like that happening. This very much felt to me like an episode where they were just kind of like maybe finding a reason to take a lot of disparate ideas and put them together. Mm-hmm. Because you have a lot of unique conflicts, a lot of unique character moments. Mm-hmm. Toby with the Syrian restaurant out of left field.
If we don't patronize the only Syrian restaurant in town, it'll just be pizza places and make your own salads.
Which,
and then suggesting falafel.
Does it have to be pizza? Could it be falafel?
What are you talking about?
it's such a great joke that only serves the purpose of being set up by the joke earlier.
Yes,
it's
so perfect.
Great.
It's Toby's Syrian episode. But they do have throughways. The writing's still there.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, you got Stanley counseling Ryan and Kelly.
Agreeing, and they each give him a lead when he agrees with them.
It's a good show. It's about family, she says, about the Kardashians. You're not wrong, Kelly. It is about a family.
Sure.
And then, maybe there's an extended version. I think Office Ladies mentioned it, where Ryan's talking about another show.
Oh, wow, really?
And I cannot remember which one it was. So, sorry for... That's a dead end. But I do like Stanley's just ultra, just calm, just, good.
Yeah.
Just playing
it is
off
a good
everybody.
Show. Yeah, and then she hands him a lead.
He's been there for 31 years, evidently.
In a talking head,
So he's seen it all. He knows how to manipulate the others in the office.
The episode kicks off with a kind of a fun cold open, which is, again, just felt like an excuse to throw shit at the wall.
Fell out of the sky. Oh, this was meant for another episode because Jim enters the office wearing a jacket. And he only wore that when he was
a manager. Right. I wondered about that.
I cannot remember which. I can't remember which one it was for.
That's interesting. Let me see if it's in the trivia section. Huh.
Yeah. I can't remember which one, but that's.
Dunderpedia just only says that it does appear to be filmed when he was still co-manager. He's wearing the suit jacket.
Right.
By the way, a fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie was released about a year after this episode. So Michael is prescient.
Huh. Yeah.
You mean they kept going and going with it? No way.
Yeah. He had a great idea for that one.
They should make one.
That was my favorite zinger that he got off. He's trying to slow down. I don't know. He's not quite where he's been. With the zingers, but I don't know. It kind of falls flat for me a little bit. This opener, it's kind of funny, kind of not.
Yeah.
But in the end, just to clarify, Jim is still just fucking with him. M. Night Shulman.
Yeah.
Shulman. Yeah.
Yeah. Michael's Shyamalan, but he knows.
And Michael's still buying into it again.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Oh, the look on his face. Yeah.
I don't know if he was just buying it or if he was sort of pissed again.
I felt like he was buying it.
Because
I think he fully believed that was Johnny Depp until Jim called him on it, and then he realized, and then when he throws in the M. Night Shyamalan,
right,
he's kind of like, oh, it, yeah, like maybe it's somebody else famous.
You know why I was confused? Because I don't usually watch it with closed captions on, but yeah. I did this past time, and even when he says Shyamalan, when I saw it,
uh-huh.
It sounded like he could have said Shyamalan.
Yeah.
It's an interesting way that Jim kind of like, because first off, you've got Jim is about, Jim's trying to, what, calm the situation, mm. bring Michael back to reality, mm. and then Michael throws him a nugget that's just too good to ignore.
Exactly, exactly, yeah.
But at the same time, it's not Shyamalan.
No.
So yeah,
it's Shyamalan.
There's an interesting right. gamble where yeah. Jim is like debate. He's betting that Michael will not know M. Night Shyamalan's name yeah. well enough.
He'll just know it's close enough that it yeah. could be.
Right.
And likewise, to then immediately take these photos that he thought was Johnny Depp, yes. an incredibly recognizable person.
Yes.
Was M. Night Shyamalan, an also fairly recognizable person
yes.
who looks nothing like Johnny Depp.
Or did he just think Johnny Depp and M. Night were hanging out?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. Okay, good point.
But
yeah.
adding to the irony, as I found out in research, M. Night Shyamalan is from Pennsylvania, evidently.
Oh, really?
And sets many of his movies in Pennsylvania.
So it could have actually been him.
So I think it was sort of a roundabout reference to that.
Could have been more there. Could've wow.
Because it is very random.
Yeah. Random pool.
Two.
Yeah.
I mean, so, so okay. So it's more of a thinker than we may have initially yeah. believed.
Which, even though this cold open might have been filmed differently, we do have another of Michael getting names wrong when Jim is looking for the leads and it says it's under the first president.
Yep.
And it's the Lincoln.
Lincoln.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little like Michael kind of idiot moments that are kind of like tucked into this episode.
Yeah.
Like forgetting that the first president was not Abe Lincoln.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like spelling mopey, moppy.
Moppy, yeah.
Yeah.
Which
and
I tried...
he thinks that streetlight is in Casablanca.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
I like the ragu.
Now that's
Italian.
Italian.
What was the lesson in that one? Because all of these clues are supposed to have life lessons in them.
Well, and there's the one that Jim holds up like, this one's just a map. And he goes, or is it?
That's one of his best beats to me.
Yeah.
One. He just, or is it?
Or is it?
Oh, lucky Jim's got Pam on what do they call it on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? On Lifeline.
Oh, Lifeline. Yeah.
Right? His day could have been so much worse without her leading him around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had to play the babysitter for years.
Yeah. All Michael's mannerisms.
Also, Dwight has six numbers. Wow.
Yeah.
Including the car phone.
Yeah.
Including the car phone.
Which we all agree this is like a 1986 style car phone. Like the size of like a small suitcase.
Yeah, it's got its own like luggage container.
Yeah.
I like Ultra Dwight on the go with his Bluetooth saying, Dwight out. He could really turn into be a real monster later on.
He could have very much been kind of like the like tech douchebag that Ryan embodied in many episodes.
This is true.
He knows a lot about because there's the other episode. I don't know if this is before or after. I got my timeline mixed up. But when Jim has the tiny Bluetooth, it's when Pam's in New York so they can talk all day.
Yeah.
And Dwight knows exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely like into
tech.
He's
a tech guy,
yeah. Even though he lives on a beet farm with an outhouse.
Phyllis and Angela, we haven't seen a good Phyllis and Angela head-to-head in a minute, but this really showed that animosity is still there. There is a deleted scene earlier where Phyllis calls what Angela does clerical work, which sets up when Angela gives her that stack of papers and says, here's clerical work for you, that she plans to promptly shred.
In front of her.
Which is really just cold.
After she does it all,
You know, on such a level.
She's all about the humiliation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Degradation.
Yeah, that kind of
It's
tracks.
Just knowing she can.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, Phyllis is really throwing the sass, though. The numbnuts
the
line.
The numbnuts line hits hard. And
this lady's come a long way.
Yeah.
Well, even earlier, with if I don't have time to check your email, I sure as hell don't have time to walk over there.
Yeah.
You know, like,
which...
This is
sassy
Phyllis. Yeah, and I will say, like, if she was just being, you know, like she really was just making no time at all. Like, yeah, that's on her. Although, on the other hand, if the company's really not, if they're really pushing this and not giving them time, shame on Sabre.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
I mean, either way, exactly. It's a fuck up. I don't know. But I don't know. Kathy Bates, get her on the phone. He only gets Gabe on the phone, though.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
And
Gabe tells him he doesn't want to incentivize murder. But
Yeah. Good on Gabe.
Yeah.
I do like, though, that Gabe tries to be the hard ass about it. You were required to hand out the leads. To Michael says, I will hand them out. Starts repeating himself.
Yes.
Gabe catches on to that.
Yeah,
why do you keep repeating? Hang up.
Oh, well, we're going to find out, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Lots of little verbal digs, like when Michael's handing out the leads, he says, today you are all kings.
Yes.
Taps Oscar on the shoulder and queens.
I like Oscar's look to the, kind of look off to the distance, just like he's just sort of fully accepted.
He was expecting it. Yeah.
There we go. He was just waiting for it.
So that's his homophobia. He has almost steps into a little racism when he's telling the cast, the members of the staff, he does not like your uppity attitude. He's looking
Jim.
At Stanley immediately to Jim. Yeah, that's
nice save, Michael. Not really.
Yeah.
That was kind of an updated classic right there.
Yeah.
She was drinking a lot of water. And then they end up in the trash.
And then they end up in the dump. And the dump scene to me is so good because it's such a culmination of kind of acknowledging the evolution of Michael and Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
He calls him out on how, Dwight, you used to be down for this kind of silliness.
Yeah.
He was excited. Yeah. In the old days, he would have been excited to go to the dump.
Yeah.
And at this point, he's just like, you just screwed up. You know, just is openly mocking him and such.
And when Michael tells him, because he says like he has a shot at a 100K commission, he's like, since when do you care about money?
Oh, yeah. We heard the backstory on Dwight's potential career path with Home Depot.
He could have been running a Home Depot.
Home Depot right now,
guy with the, what was his name?
Some guy, but he really threw that name at Michael as if he was a known entity in Scranton, a known business leader, which was neat.
Where is it? Oh, yeah, Ivan Shartsky.
Shartsky. That's a name.
Shartsky. Wow, I didn't even catch that.
But no, he hitched his wagon to the horse with no legs.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
such imagery by this guy.
Right,
And then they just go ultra infantile as much as they'll ever get. Honestly, throwing a spool at one another.
Yeah, just I think at one point Dwight says, "That's my spool."
Yeah, he rolls it at him, and then he rolls it. Yeah,
and then he rolls it, and then he tries to kick it.
That's right. Yeah. But there's that great, like, little kid fight moment before that when they throw stuff at each other, and then Michael says, time out, and then find something else, and he goes, time in, and throws it real quick.
And Dwight just yells. Yeah, that's great. Oh, man. Meanwhile, back at the office, Andy almost assaults Aaron. That
hot or colder, baby.
Yeah.
And Aaron just keeps saying warmer, warmer.
And he's just going right for the boobs.
And then she starts saying lower, lower.
Yeah.
And he has this pathetic, are you sure?
Yeah.
Like, you just can't figure out what's happening there. God bless Aaron's innocence in that moment. It's such a great tool that they use to make that funny.
Yeah, her idiocy and his just stupidity. And completely, kind of a role reversal. I don't know. In my life, most of the ladies I've known they get cold really quickly or easily.
Yeah.
But it's reversed in this episode.
Yeah.
And Andy's the one who, she has warm blood.
Yeah, so she takes her jacket off to give to Andy.
Yeah.
Which was a nice little gender reversal. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and it actually works with those two.
Yeah.
And then into the sweet moment.
Yeah, I just don't know that there was anywhere to go with it because there's not a realism substance there. They're just idiots.
Yeah.
You know?
They're idiots. Yeah. They're the only other idiots who would go to a dumpster.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
and have their first kiss be
she
there.
She would be open. I bet. There should have been a deleted scene where she was open to it, and then he just saw it as a way to get her alone.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I'll go along. Like, maybe they didn't. It didn't need to be there, but I could see how they did end up there.
Yeah,
idiots.
That would have been a good one. A little setup for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love Jim trying to talk to the salespeople into finding a way to make peace with the rest of the staff. The votes and all in favor say aye.
Yeah.
We don't need any nays.
We don't need any nays. Yeah.
2%.
Yeah.
Throwing off the. Oh,
and they've accepted our simple offer of treats and nothing more.
Nothing more, which is good because Dwight was not involved in any
of
those.
At all.
Meetings.
No, he was gone.
And if they had gone ahead with that, like, we decree 2%, he would have. Yeah. We don't know what he would have thought.
They didn't show it in any deleted scenes, but I would not be surprised if there was a filmed scene where Jim was taking advantage of Dwight being away from the office to get that through.
Oh, for sure.
That is very much like, you know, Congress doing something when a certain senator can't make it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah, exactly. And he would have.
Yeah, exactly. but, of course, you know, Dwight is too busy chiding Michael for picking up floozies at the bar. And of course, that is his wife, though.
Imaginary, but still.
Right.
The floozies at the bar might be coming soon. I don't know.
That's really exemplifies what this episode is. This episode is some sharp writing.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's these deep comments about the character's history, whether it's these fun flights of fancy that really just zero in on who these characters are. You know, this is a great example of something we've seen it before. We've talked about it before. Of 6 years in, the writers know this cast. Mm-hmm. They know what they can do. They know their strengths. They know the history of the characters.
They can hit variations on the same jokes, similar jokes, and still make it work enough where it doesn't feel like a retread.
Even when they're writing against type for the characters, like Phyllis with the numbnuts line, there's the scene where Andy is trying to get a pencil from Daryl just ends up, like, you know, toppling over him in his office. And that's so, like, not in character for Andy, but it still works the same because they know him so well.
Yes.
They can make him douchey enough.
Exactly.
And also, it's sort of the early development of trying to get those two together. Yeah. For later, like, to, you know, for their later shenanigans.
Later this season, for sure. Well, and even Phyllis, I mean, it comes on strong, but that's something, too, that I feel like Phyllis's being a bit of a bitch is more in the deleted scenes.
Okay.
Oh, really?
But we do have episodes, like, if I may, you know, steal a quote from an earlier episode, close your mouth, honey, you look like a trout. You know, that's Phyllis. You know, you got a lot to learn about this town. That's
a lot to
Phyllis,
learn about this town.
You know?
She threw that honey in when she was talking to Angela. Like, honey, if I didn't have time for emails, I didn't have time to, you know.
Yeah.
Such and such.
So, I mean, she's always been quick with the sass, but
telling Pam she can't base the sales calls off who she's sleeping with that week.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean,
she's always had that streak in her. She got that dog in her.
Yeah.
She could say that the nicest way, too.
I know. Yeah.
And just straight up, like, okay.
Yeah.
My God, it's amazing. So they just amplified that up with the power struggle.
Yeah.
Instead of being kind of like subtly jab about it, she was just like numb nuts.
Yeah. Well, and then even after she kind of, she doesn't like walk it back, but she tries to like ease the blow. She's like, seriously though, you have to give those.
Yeah.
You know, like, like
she kind of remembered, like, oh wait.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael has power to support the sales staff.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Damn you, Gabe. And I bet people heard that, like, in my company, man. Who knows that same kind of thing? Like,
oh, yeah. Always support the sales staff.
Well, you know, their jobs could be done in India. Which,
that's
once
true.
Again,
wow.
Savage Phyllis coming for it.
Yeah.
There is a deleted scene where Jim does kind of come back, and he's like, do you really want that? You know, like, like, so there is at least a little bit of cushioning that blow.
Just to get rid of Ryan.
And of course, you know, it's not like we don't have opportunities to make even more peace in the future. The break room will have this cozy new beanbag chair.
Oh,
that's right.
Oh, peace offering.
But that's just for Michael and Dwight.
Yeah.
I do like how they repeatedly acknowledge how gross a dump is. Like that, or with the purple garment, and Michael sniffs it, and Dwight goes, does it smell? Or no. Or Michael goes, does it smell? And Dwight just,
Yeah.
So they're not going to give it to Phyllis?
Yeah, right. Purple much?
Purple much.
But then they're just so entranced with the beanbag that they like oversee.
I don't even, there's nothing else that matters.
They got some industrial cleaner. But yeah, I wish they would have shown it maybe like in an episode. Maybe
just have it sitting back there,
Maybe in the corner. Call back at some point. Like, I don't know.
God, I hope there's a deleted scene sometime.
It should have
been in the finale.
Maybe they moved it into the really nice ladies' room. Yeah.
It was at the wedding.
Yeah.
It's just like in the line. Like it's okay.
It brought a gift.
It's got a little bow tie on.
It brought a gift. It's the purple garment from the top.
Oh, what could have been? Can we make fake outtakes?
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's plus one was the spool.
Right. If you're a graphic designer, if you'd Photoshop the beanbag chair into some scenes of The Office, we'll pay you, put you on the show, whatever.
Just like Forrest Gump style, like the beanbag in the background of all the most defining moments of the show.
I won't accept an AI substitute. I want an actual.
I want a
graphic
human.
Designer to put all the heart into that one. Good episode.
Yeah, it just a fun episode that really just kind of gets into the silliness of our cast, the fun interactions that we can have.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there's any kind of greater narrative here. You know, very few of the plots are moved forward. Andy and Aaron a little bit. You
there's
know?
Not even much of a B plot, like other than like Andy and Aaron kind of. But right. It's all just.
I kind of love that in a way.
Yeah, it was all just. Yeah. It was almost like. Not necessarily a bottle episode, because it does play into higher themes, but it was definitely more of a self-contained.
It's a wacky episode. Or it's not wacky, but like, it just goes.
It's like to me, the episode feels kind of like a tree. Like, there's a central plot that just has all this weird shit branching off of it.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
You get a lot of these just fun, weird moments, you know? It's an interesting episode. They don't write a lot like this.
They're thrown all together into one thing. Everybody's focused on one thing, the leads, basically, except Aaron and Andy, who are focused on each other.
Yeah, but even that is through the discussion of the leads.
Yeah.
You know?
They're still within that, so even with the leads, right.
And each of them also have interactions with others in the cast, you know. Yeah. What is the moment? Is it a deleted scene? Oh, it is the deleted scene where... Phyllis calls what Angela does clerical work, and Angela goes, "I don't do clerical work. Aaron does clerical work." And the camera cuts to Aaron, and she just smiles and waves. Just so happy to be acknowledged.
Yeah. She's just happy to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, glad to do the work.
Loving life.
It's so great.
Not Taco Bell.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Not Andy's Baba Ganoush.
No.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Or was
Toby's
Baba Ganoush.
You're right,
Toby.
But
I'm
sure Andy would have it, too.
Yeah.
Michael running after the dump truck. That was fun.
Hey.
It would stop for him.
Nitpick. Nitpick a little bit. He could have caught that thing. The man,
The
man runs 32 miles an hour.
That's true. He's so fast. It's like he's very fast. Very fast.
But also, wouldn't have made stops? Maybe.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, if you stay enough
or
behind
was that
it, you'd be able to catch up with
Dunder Mifflin's the last stop on the
back to the dump.
Garbage tour.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they were all able to make it to the dump and back pretty quick, so
yeah,
it might be pretty close by.
Yeah, they did it all during the work day, you know?
I like that they just end it. They don't really find a solution. They just sit there. And
yeah, those leads are just gone.
Oh, yeah, they've given up on those.
They're just left with each other, and they're like, fuck it, let's get the bean back.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sorry, is there not a list on
that's
a
file? That's what I was just
going
to say. Like, maybe those are gone. If they paid the money for the leads, they got to just be able to print off new ones, right?
Yeah.
That should be like a next scene. Just cut. We could just do this.
Yeah.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. Like, the whole episode didn't have to happen.
Angela's probably got a whole stack of them in her desk that she just reprinted. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Creed's taking advantage of that shit somehow.
Somehow.
Of course.
He's selling those leads to other companies.
To the people on the leads, probably.
He's
going to
get the whole leads racket. He'd be all over that.
I mean, he can see it now with his new glasses, so it's perfect.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you realized that, because I did not realize
that. Yeah, me neither. Okay, that was, awesome. Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm glad I read it.
Yeah, heard it. Beautiful.
It's so silly. Oh, man.
Good
stuff.
So subtle, but so good.
Yeah, for a trashy episode. Love it.
It's funny. This is wrapping up to be one of our shorter episodes, and I think it's just because everything here is just so very cut and concise.
It's very
contained.
Yeah.
It's all contained within the leads.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of a fun three-way episode. Like, there are, like, it is consequential because Andy and Aaron.
Yeah.
Kinda. I'm glad they found a way to keep Pam in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
While on the maternity leave, so
you
know,
through her
and fun ways too, like and that actually.
Well, and really focused on a very classic Pam quality, which is her understanding Michael.
Yes.
You know?
Knowing all his insanity.
Yeah.
Props to Jim real quick. A great scene when he's jealous of what Pam's having to do.
Yeah.
Asking how are you?
Yeah. Just crying babies and dirty diapers. And he wishes he was there instead of dealing with this. Yeah.
They're still keeping that going. Cats in the cradle.
Do we have the, does the talking head in the original where he says, you know, one baby's a lot, two babies is too much?
Yeah, it's just unfair.
Yeah. Which a lot of parents out there, you know, we're sorry, y'all. Twins do exist.
Yeah.
So we
it's true.
Yeah.
God, it's a
but
nightmare.
I mean, Michael being the ostensibly the other baby in this episode.
Oh, yes. Of course. Yeah.
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 Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Grown babies
and
are
mom,
even harder.
And mom's away. It's yeah. almost like opposite, you know, like exactly. Pam was
yeah, yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe this could a whole thing could have
she
could
have talked about it doing the leads thing. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting that Gabe is not actually in Scranton.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We do get a taste of his travel schedule, which we don't really learn about until later in the season,
yeah.
I think, or if not, maybe next season.
Yeah,
but
I seem to remember him talking about going to Amsterdam, but that was not on business.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah. That was where he got the ground up.
The seahorse.
Seahorse, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh,
this show's going to get weird.
And increments.
Yeah.
But for a season that has a lot of ups and downs, this is definitely a high point. This is a fun episode,
yeah.
really highlighting some of the best moments of the cast.
We're kind
of
coming into the home stretch for the end of the season, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah, we get another arc coming up here.
We do.
Arc, kind of
yes.
that they tuck into the end of the season. And so. Then we'll wrap things out with, you know, some possible scandal with Saber.
Love and scandal.
So, yeah.
Or wanting love.
Love and that
and
sounds like
trying.
A VH,
well,
VH1 show.
Also, Scandalous Love.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This.
That's also
yeah.
sounds like a VH1 show.
It does.
A lot to cover.
Cam, thanks so much for being back on the
of course,
show.
Thanks
this
for having
awesome,
me.
Glad to have you.
Always a pleasure.
Come back soon?
Sure.
All right.
Please.
Brian, you're going to come back just for the next one, right?
Could keep me away if you tried.
All right. And we'll see all you guys next time. Thanks so much.
See ya.
The People Persons Paper Podcast is an OLA Ministries production. The People Persons Paper Podcast is produced by Hilton Price and Brian Sittler. Engineering by Hilton Price. OLA Ministries is owned and operated by OLA Ministries, LLC. Contact Hilton Price and Michael Zampino for more information.
Right? Those are Irish Wolfhounds. We
yeah.
stabbed those when I was a kid.
Oh, nice. Hmm. I always wanted one. I like big dogs.
Yeah, pretty wild when I was a kid, man. They were so fucking huge.
Yeah.
Mom used to tell a story how he used to just, like, smack one with his bone, and it would look at me like, what the fuck are you doing?
Like, I could eat you in one gulp.
Yeah, unfazed,
yeah.
you know.
Too easy.